It was grace that brought Ruth the Moabitess to Bethlehem along with the returning Naomi. Jehovah's grace had touched Ruth's heart. And as we saw in chapter 1, faith which comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, faith, I say, on the part of Ruth caused her to make the decision that Naomi's God and Naomi's people would be hers. This separated her from her gods of Moab and from her own people. And she found from henceforth her portion to be with Jehovah and his people. Turn with me today in these few moments with a book to chapter 2 of Ruth, and let us continue to consider this lovely story of grace and see what lessons the Spirit of God may have for us today. In verse 1, we are introduced to Boaz, the one upon whom Ruth's future entirely depends. He's a kinsman of Naomi's deceased husband, Elimelech. And as a kinsman, he had the right and power to redeem the inheritance that Elimelech left. There's a beautiful dispensational picture here. Elimelech speaks of the nation of Israel, which, as servant of Jehovah, failed completely to keep her part of the covenant, and hence came under the loss of God's blessings. However, in God's goodness, he sent his son to become man, a kinsman, in order to redeem not only Israel, but to make salvation available for the Gentile alike. The day is coming when the nation of Israel will be brought back to the portion promised to Abraham, but not on the basis of the old covenant. Rather, will it be on the basis of the new covenant of grace, which our Lord Jesus Christ has established by the blood of the cross shed on Calvary. Now Ruth pictures for us the remnant of Israel in the coming day, which will be brought to repentance and faith, owning no merit or special favor, but indebted as she was solely to the grace of God, which indeed shall work in the nation of Israel, and by grace through faith in Christ bring them restored into the land. Boaz was a mighty man of wealth or valor, we read. Now both thoughts are true. There are in Christ unsearchable riches, my friend, indeed, sufficient to meet eternally the needs of all who will come to him. He is truly a man of wealth. But also he is a man of valor. And this suggests the power and the right that he has as the victor over every foe because of the conflict he won by the redemption wrought on the cross of Calvary. His name Boaz means in him is strength. Beautifully does this suggest the power of our risen, glorified Lord Jesus, who is able to perform all the purposes of God and to fulfill all the promises of God, who, like Ruth, will come to him and put their trust in him, shall indeed be brought under the wings of his protection and care. Boaz then indeed typifies our Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is the hope for every individual, for you, my friend, for Israel and for the church. He is the Lord of the harvest. And as we shall consider, Ruth comes to his fields to get what she vitally needs and longs for, and she finds sufficiency there. Now let us consider Ruth, beginning with verse 2 of chapter 2, as picturing for us a young Christian. She shows the reality of her new life by desiring to glean ears of corn in the fields of the one who would show her grace. She knew that she by nature and merit deserved nothing, but her faith laid hold upon the word of Jehovah, which promised that gleanings would be left in the fields of harvest for the stranger and the widow and the fatherless. And she was a widow and a stranger. She needed food and she wanted food. This is the normal, really, desire of a new Christian. And it should be the continued desire of all Christians. We want and we need the Word of God. In 1 Peter 2, we read that all who have been born again should, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Now Ruth's gleanings also were to be after him, in whose sight she would find grace. Now this is important. It suggests that in all our reading of the Scripture, we should ever seek to be brought in touch with him, the person of our blessed Lord Jesus. You see, he is the theme of all Scripture. He is the living Word. He is the bread of life. Then, too, she seeks the aid of Naomi, the older child of God, now restored in soul. There's no generation gap in the family of God. There are babes, young men and fathers, degrees of growth, but all are one in Christ. All have the same life and nature. All have the indwelling Spirit. All need each other. All need to consider one another in love, regardless of age. And Naomi encourages this younger sister to go and glean ears of corn in the harvest fields of Bethlehem. Ah, let us encourage each other likewise. So we read in verse 3, she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. End of quote. Her hap. Now, did this just happen by accident or chance? It may have seemed so to the natural mind, but let us never forget that there is no happenstance, so to speak, for the child of God. Now what may appear so is really the direction of God causing events to transpire to fulfill his purpose. He's going to bless all who come to him. He's going to carry out his purpose. And in Psalm 37, verse 23, we read these words, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." I believe that shows us that Ruth was ordered to go where she went. And every child of God has been made good or righteous in Christ. And as a child becomes a special object of parental care, so the Christian becomes a special object of the Lord's direction and care. Each step. What a Savior and Lord we have. Now perhaps Ruth's name has some significance here also. It means having a shepherd. How true this was in her case in regards to the care that Boaz is now to show concerning her. And in it, do we not see pictured for us our Lord Jesus Christ as the good, the great, and chief shepherd who cares for each one of his sheep? And who are his sheep? Ah, all those who have put their trust in him. Now what a grand relationship between Boaz and his reapers is seen in verse 4. Boaz greets them with these words, "The Lord be with you." And they answer him, "The Lord bless thee." This is indeed quite a contrast to the labor and management of the day, is it not? But it clearly shows that only as the Lord Jesus has his rightful place in the hearts of individuals will there be peace and harmony in man's relationship with each other. Verses 5 and 6 reveal a conversation between Boaz and his unnamed servant whom he set over the reapers. "Whose damsel is this?" asked Boaz. And his servant replies, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." Now in this we see at least one thing indicated, and that is that as Boaz saw Ruth, we can be assured that not one soul escapes the attention of our Boaz, our Lord Jesus. His servant, unnamed, undoubtedly typifies the Holy Spirit who labors, you see, here and directs in perfect harmony with Christ in his interests here on earth. Every child of God is blessed with two comforters or advocates. The Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And the Holy Spirit of God on earth indwelling each believer is our comforter here. Now Ruth shows one who desires the guidance of the servant in her gleanings as she asks of him, "Let me now glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." And then he said to Boaz, "So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house." What earnestness she shows. But an example for us to follow. She diligently gleaned food. Oh, may we diligently seek the truth of God in the pasture fields of Scripture, the 66 books of Holy Scriptures, the Bible. She continued. Alas, how often we go a little while and then stop. We're satisfied with such a little. Perhaps once a week. Oh, Christian friend, may first love for Christ cause each of us to be more like the Bereans who search the Scriptures daily. And may we be more like Job, who said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. This is the food that really matters. It would be far better for us to miss breakfast than to miss the Word of God in the morning. Now back to Ruth chapter 2, we find in verses 8 and 9 that Boaz speaks directly to Ruth as follows, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Oh, what an uplift this must have been to Ruth as she heard these words. To hear herself called a daughter would indeed warm her heart to know of this acknowledged new relationship. And to hear the careful instructions for her to follow, for her safety, for her provision, would this not assure her that Boaz actually did care and would provide for her? He said, Go not to glean in another field. Indeed, what folly it would have been for her to have done so. And alas, what disaster has been wrought in the lives of many Christians who have gleaned apart from the fields of Boaz, apart from the inspired pasture fields of the bread of life. Also, he says, abide fast by my maidens. It's very important that we have proper fellowship and stay in the fellowship with those who are faithfully following Boaz, dear friend, those who are doing his will as directed by his servants. Many a Christian life and testimony has been ruined by bad associations, by failure to keep company only with those whose desires and activities are pleasing to the Lord Jesus. Our associations do affect us. The Bible says evil associations corrupt good morals and manners. And in view of that, the Lord says, Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now this is a word, if we don't heed, will lead to disaster of our testimony and joy and usefulness. Who are our companions, we might ask, and in them we can see what we actually are. Now, I'm not talking about witnessing to sinners and seeking to acquaint them with the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about our companions, those that we have fellowship with. Can two walk together except to be agreed, asked the prophet Amos. And may we see to it that we heed this most important admonition in Ephesians 5, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Oh, let us fellowship rather with those who call on the Lord out of a pure or an undivided heart, a heart that beats for the Lord Jesus Christ, our true Boaz. Seek your fellowship with those. And then Boaz also sees her need of refreshment and tells her to drink of the water that his young men have drawn. I believe his maidens would speak of the Lord's own generally who glean in his fields. And the young men would perhaps speak of those active in ministering the water of life, the various gifts given to the church, to bring forth the ministry of the Word of God for refreshment and edification of the people of God. Now those in whom the Word of God abides, such as the young men, are strong. They alone can bring forth refreshment and ministry to others. Let us take advantage of this and thank God for this provision. Now such provision by Boaz causes Ruth to fall on her face, bowing herself to the ground. She says in verse 10, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? The law of Moses had given her the privilege of gleaning in the field after the reapers, for she was a stranger and a widow. Ah, but it was the grace of Boaz that told her to abide there, not to leave. It was his grace that owned her as one of the daughters of the Lord. Oh, why, she asked, She's amazed, and are not we? Are you not amazed, dear fellow believer, when you ask why God has saved you? Amazing grace. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. This is what Paul Gerhardt, the Christian poet and songwriter, wrote. May it be the language of our heart as well. Now, the answer that Boaz gives to Ruth indicates that he did see response to the work of grace in Ruth's heart. And he noticed that her faith was genuine, because she showed it by her decision to leave her father and her mother and her false gods and to come to Bethlehem and be associated with the people of God. You know, just as Boaz saw Ruth and knew all about her, the Lord knows everyone whose heart has accepted him and whose desire is to please him. The Lord knoweth them that trust in him, says the prophet Nahum. Boaz then promises Ruth that the Lord would recompense her work, and he would give her a full reward. Why? Because she had come to trust under the wings of Jehovah. Verse 13 reveals her response to all this. Ruth testifies that Boaz has truly spoken to her heart. Ah, is not this just like the Lord? Oh, my friend, the grace of God is still going out in this Christless world. Have you responded to it? Has the message of grace affected you? No goodness that you have, no merit, can you claim as a basis for your eternal blessing. But you too can claim, as a sinner, the grace that's held out to you as a sinner, as a stranger, destitute of everything here. The grace and the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is held out to you for your acceptance. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In verse 14, Boaz brings Ruth in fellowship with himself in the center and his reapers around him. What a picture we have here. The bread and the vinegar are provided for a feast and reminds us of the precious remembrance of our Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread each Lord's Day according to his desire for his people. To partake of the loaf and drink of the cup to remember him in his death until he comes. Oh, our blessed Lord delights to have his people gathered together unto his name alone to worship him. And he has promised to be in our midst. And it is then too that he delights to minister to us. Boaz reached, we read, to Ruth, gave her parched corn, and we read she did eat and was sufficed, and there was much left over. Parched corn symbolizes the Lord Jesus living. Having come through the fire of the judgment of Calvary, he now lives and is glorified at the Father's right hand. This is the food for the people of God to feed upon. We see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. Think of him. The victor over sin and the grave and our identification with him, if we have trusted him. Ah, this is the way that we receive strength, by feeding on him, the parched corn of the land. In verses 15 and 17, we see Ruth once again going out to get more. And this is what it will be. The more you get, the more you want. And the less you get, the less you'll desire. But we hear Boaz commanding his young men that they should let her glean even among the sheaves, and furthermore, they were to let handfuls of purpose for her to gather up. Oh, how like our blessed Lord. He would encourage our finding truth in every part of the Holy Scriptures, and he would also lead to the providing of just what we need for the time. This is the work of the Spirit of God. You're reading someplace, or you're hearing something, you say, that's just what I needed. God knows that. To him be the glory. Pick it up. Use it. May it be a blessing to us. Then in verse 17, we read that Ruth beat out what she gleaned. How important it is that we not only gather food, but that we meditate upon it. We make it our own. and then apply it to our own lives in exercise of heart and soul. But this may be enough for today. May God bless His Word. Please reread what we've noticed, Ruth 2, 1 to 17, and may His Word be truly food for each one today that will bring present and eternal consequences of spiritual nourishment and eternal enrichment.